Hello and welcome to the Nesson Patriots podcast. I'm Doug Kai, joined as always by Zach Cox. Zach, how are you doing today on this fine afternoon?
I'm doing well, Doug. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Plenty of Patriots news to get to on this show. We're going to talk about some of their recent additions. We're going to talk about the running back position, quarterback position, Julian Edelman, all sorts of things to get to. The Patriots do actually start practicing on August 12th, but we won't be there for those practices. We have to wait until August 17th when pads come on. So as if this whole summer wasn't delayed enough for reporters, now we have to wait an additional 5 days to actually be able to watch practice and get to do our jobs.
Yeah, that's a little unfortunate. But if we think about it, thinking back to those first couple days at training camp, tend to be a little bit of a waste of time anyway, because there's not a whole lot of actual but kind of full team 11-on-11 football things happening. But yeah, I'm getting a little antsy over here. I want to get out and actually watch some real football.
We will still get to watch 14 days of practice. It will be a little bit different. Zach and I will be sort of switching off days that we can be down there. Won't be like usual where there's 50 reporters, tucked in a tent, but that's obviously for the best right now with everything that's going on. But let's tackle some of the Patriots' recent additions, because everyone loves transactions. I know that I certainly do. The Patriots traded for cornerback Michael Jackson, setting Twitter ablaze with a lot of jokes that went on probably for 3 days too long about the King of Pop. Patriots also are reportedly signing running back Lamar Miller, defensive tackle Darius Kilgo, and center Tyler Gauthier. They are reportedly not signing tight end Jordan Leggett, despite the fact that that was initially looked to be as a sure thing. But let's get into Jackson first. I know that Lamar Miller is the bigger name, but let's just kind of go in chronological order here. No one really thought that cornerback was a big need for the Patriots, but Jackson is sort of an appealing type of prospect. It looks like the Lions were planning on releasing him, so then the Patriots shipped off a 2022 conditional seventh round pick, which is about as low as you could possibly offer for a player. But Jackson's like 6'1", 210, more safety size than cornerback. Looks like he's got some pretty decent athleticism. Not a big track record in the NFL, but he had a good junior and senior season at Miami. So like I said, bit of a surprise, but this sort of adds to their defensive back depth in general. And he's certainly a long shot at this point for a roster spot.
Yeah, fifth round draft pick of the Dallas Cowboys last year. Didn't end up making the team out of camp, which is always a bit of a, when you have a guy that's drafted in basically the first five rounds, you kind of expect them to make the team. Just reading up a little bit, it seemed like people in Dallas still had some hopes that he was going to kind of pan out into a player. Eventually the Lions ended up signing him off the Cowboys practice squad. And now he is in New England. As you mentioned, he's a bigger guy. The Patriots have been kind of building a bigger cornerback room. I believe they have four cornerbacks that are 6'1" or taller right now. They like those long rangy guys. Jackson supposedly is a good man coverage guy. Going to be pretty difficult for him to make the team, because the Patriots are absolutely stacked at cornerback. As you mentioned, everybody from last season is back. And then you got some two younger kind of intriguing guys in D'Angelo Ross and Miles Bryant that Jackson is going to be fighting for even for third team practice reps right now. So he's got an uphill climb ahead of him, but I agree. He does have some intriguing traits.
Does those four cornerbacks who are 6'1" or taller, does that include JC Jackson in that list?
Yes, that includes 5'10" JC Jackson.
Because just as an aside, that's one of the most like egregiously false height listings I've ever seen on a roster. JC Jackson's listed at 6'1" and he's 100% 5'10" or 5'11", but he's listed at 6'1", so I guess that's what you kind of got to go with. Lamar Miller, I said we'll go in chronological order. I'm already breaking from that, but Lamar Miller, definitely the most high-profile name the Patriots have added here in the last few days. Certainly an interesting signing. Missed all of last season with a torn ACL. He actually made a Pro Bowl in 2018, but he didn't even pick up 1,000 yards rushing that season. We'll just all sort of have to see where Lamar Miller is at this point. 29 years old, coming off that torn ACL, but he's a complete back. He's like 5'10", 5'11", 220 pounds. Made a Pro Bowl, like I mentioned. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He tested really well when he was coming out of Miami with a really fast 40-yard dash. So this is definitely a depth signing at running back, since Sonny Michel's on PUP. Rex Burkhead always seems to get hurt. No one really knows what Damian Harris is at this point. J.J. Taylor is an undrafted free agent. Brandon Bolden opted out. But he's a player who does have some starting caliber talent, and you kind of need that right now if there is some uncertainty with where Sonny Michel's foot is at this point. And, I mean, I mentioned Burkhead's always an injury risk. Michel is too. Even if that foot is fine, who knows about the knee or the ankle or anything else with him. So I think a lot of people wondered why the Patriots made this move, just because Lamar Miller is a big name, but this does seem sort of like a veteran flyer to add some depth at the position.
It does, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Lamar Miller ends up being the Patriots' number one running back early in the season, if he ends up being healthy and coming back and returning to kind of the form that he showed before his injury. Because I looked back over some of his recent seasons before that torn ACL, 850 or more rushing yards in five straight seasons, averaged something like 30 catches per season during that span. You mentioned he was a Pro Bowler, got great speed, an experienced guy. It didn't even, other than the injury, it doesn't even seem like this is a kind of a 32-year-old running back that they're getting late in his career and just seeing if he can do anything. This is a guy who should theoretically be in his prime, and the Patriots don't really have a reliable dual threat running back. Basically, Rex Burkhead has been their best dual threat running back, and as you mentioned, he can't stay healthy because Sonny Michel has basically been just a rusher, and James White has been almost exclusively a pass catcher. It's not almost exclusively a pass catcher, but that is definitely his focus. And I think a lot of Patriots fans were hoping that Damian Harris could potentially fill more of that role this season. And maybe he still will. Maybe he still will, because there's by no means no guarantee that Lamar Miller will be on this team when the season begins. But I would say he's definitely a flyer, but I think this is a move that could end up paying off for the Patriots, especially if Sonny Michel ends up not being back. And I saw a report from our buddy Jeff Howe the other day that initially it was the Patriots don't know if Sonny Michel is going to be ready for training camp. And Jeff reported the other day that they don't know if he's going to be ready for the season to begin. So who knows what's going on with that? Who knows how long it's going to be until we see him back out on the field? So definitely seems like a smart move for the Patriots to bring in a guy like Miller.
And I know that everyone sort of already, you know, writes Sonny Michel's name in with a pen as far as that starting running back position goes. But, I mean, he hasn't played like a first-round pick since he was drafted by the Patriots. I know that this is sort of a point of contention for Patriots fans and the media and everything. But, I mean, Sonny Michel ranked 21st out of 29th in PFF's elusive rating as a rookie. That dropped down to 26th out of 29th last season. He's historically, over the last two seasons, one of the worst running backs in PFF's breakaway percentage, too. That's runs over 15 yards. In his career, the 2 years that he's played, he's only had 18 carries of 15 yards or more. Lamar Miller, in that 2018 Pro Bowl season that we were just talking about, had 15 that season alone. And that's about half as many carries as Sonny Michel has had over the course of his entire career. So this is a position that I feel like the Patriots could upgrade, whether that is through Lamar Miller or whether that is through Damian Harris or whether that's, you know, Rex Burkhead staying healthy. I know that everyone wants to make excuses for Sonny Michel last season as far as James Devlin was out for the season. They were kind of scrambling for a fullback. The offensive line had some injuries, but I don't know. I mean, if you're a first-round running back, you probably shouldn't have to depend on a fullback. And yeah, the Patriots offensive line dealt with some injuries. They lost David Andrews for the season, but Ted Karras stepped up really well. And then they kind of had some dueling injuries at offensive tackle, but it was rare for Isaiah Wynn and Marcus Cannon to be out at the same time. So you were really kind of dealing with two injuries there. You either have to say that the Patriots offensive line was one of the worst in football last season, or you have to admit that Sonny Michel hasn't been as good as a lot of people expected. You can't have it both ways where you're saying, oh, the Patriots offensive line is great and so is Sonny Michel, because something was the issue there and it shouldn't just be the fullback.
Yeah, I mean, Sonny Michel doesn't suck. He's not terrible. I know a lot of people are really down on Sonny Michel. He's had a moderately productive career so far, but when he's a guy that's drafted in the first round, as you mentioned, 31st overall, and as people are going to continue to point out, one spot before Lamar Jackson, you're going to be held to a higher standard. A first-round draft pick is going to be expected to make yards for himself on occasion, which is something that we rarely see Sony Michel do. He's good at taking what's there. When the back in 2018, when the Patriots were opening up these big holes, he was hitting those holes and he was doing well to get yardage after the line of scrimmage. But we rarely see kind of him run into a line with nothing there and then pop out on the other side and continue going. That just really hasn't been something we've seen from him and something that you would expect a guy drafted so high to do. I mean, it's too early to write him off, I think. I think he still could come into the season and be a productive number one running back for the Patriots, especially if their O-line, as you mentioned, does kind of make some strides and if they do find a fullback. But, yeah, you don't want all these buts with a first-round pick. You want it to be a guy who can kind of succeed despite all the things that are going on around him.
Yeah, I'm basically just saying that that should be a position of competition this offseason with Lamar Miller and Damien Harris and all those guys that I mentioned. And the stats that I mentioned, elusive rating, that counts broken tackles and yards after contact. So those, in theory, should be stats beyond the offensive line. That's what a running back can pick up beyond what's there for him. And that's really where Sony Michel, over the first 2 years of his career, has struggled, as you were mentioning, to get things that weren't just there for him. Let's just go through these other two signings real quick. Darius Kilgo and Tyler Gauthier. Darius Kilgo adds some depth at defensive tackle. Tyler Gauthier adds another option as a backup center. Both of these guys are players that the Patriots actually had in the past. They're bringing them back. I would say that they're both kind of long shots for the roster, but those are those big daddy depth guys that you sort of need for training camp. And if I had to say one guy had a better shot, it might be Tyler Gauthier, but he kind of bounced around the NFL last season, got drafted by the XFL, had two stops with the Patriots. So if he makes the team, that sort of means that something else went wrong on the offensive line to me.
Yeah, I kind of agree that Gauthier probably has a better chance just because the Patriots don't have a proven snapper behind David Andrews other than Dustin Woodard, their seventh round draft pick. But I would view both of these guys as kind of depth pieces / long shots at the moment. It was just interesting to me the way that the Patriots chose to fill these eight opt-out spots. Lamar Miller is really the outlier there. He was the only kind of big name established NFL veteran that they went out and acquired after these eight players opt out. When you look at the rest of it, it's three undrafted rookies that they brought back in Will Hastings, Brian Lewerke, and Isaiah Zuber, players that they had in the past in Gauthier and Darius Kilgo. Jordan Leggett, who has played in the NFL, but has basically played one season, didn't play at all in 2017, didn't play at all in 2019. And then Michael Jackson, who has played two special team snaps, I believe, in the NFL, still hasn't played a defensive snap. So he's an untested guy. Interesting when seeing how many sort of notable names were still out there in free agency, that the Patriots chose to get Miller and then basically seven kind of bottom of the roster type players. It was an interesting strategy. It kind of goes to what we were talking about last week about how it would probably be smarter for them to push most of the salary cap space over to next season. But I mean, we'll see how they still fill this Jordan Leggett spot. But I was surprised that there was not an offensive tackle included in this group at all, because I think that was one of their biggest roster needs and continues to be one of their biggest roster needs, because they still don't have an obvious replacement for Marcus Cannon. And I actually wrote about this morning. Isaiah Wynn has spent three quarters of his NFL career on injured reserve. And I think he's a good guy to have in there as the starting left tackle, but when you don't have any depth behind him, especially if you look at the group of tackles that the Patriots have right now, and assuming one of them is going to probably have to start at right tackle, barring another later addition, you need some depth there. I was surprised they didn't bring in even a Ladrian Waddle or just someone who has played the position, who has started there, who has some experience in the NFL. Maybe they still will. They still have time, but it was a little surprising. Yeah,
I think right tackle is their biggest area of need right now. Either that or tight end. So I'm curious to see how they fill that last spot, whether it is a tight end / fullback or whether it is a right tackle. It's a really good point about Wynn's health, where we've just sort of all assumed, like, okay, yeah, Isaiah Wynn will play left tackle, then they have to figure out what's at right tackle. There's no guarantee that Wynn's going to stay healthy at left tackle, and then they have to scramble and have two of these guys, Yanni Kajust, Corey Cunningham, and Justin Heron, suddenly playing left and right tackle, or move Joe Tooney over to tackle. That becomes a problem. I wonder if at that tackle position, they want to see what Kajust, Cunningham, and Heron can do before they sort of backfill that position with some sort of veteran. Because, you know, obviously it didn't work out perfectly last season, but they signed Marshall Newhouse, you know, what was it, before week two, before week one, and he played most of the season there at offensive tackle, and they could just sort of slide him in there right away. They could probably do the same thing with Adrian Waddle. They don't necessarily, unless someone else signs him, they don't necessarily need to sign him now. They can wait, see if they like the options that they have, and then if those guys aren't working out, maybe you do sign a Waddle or some other veteran option that's out there. But I don't necessarily blame them if they do want to see what they have in all of these unknowns before they actually have to make a decision in that position.
You know, that is a good point, especially because training camp reps are going to be so limited this year with that condensed training camp, with no preseason games. If you do have a guy out there that you're confident is probably going to be on the market for another couple of weeks, and you don't really have to give him too much of a kind of a lead-in period to get him ready for a game, maybe it is a smarter idea to kind of see what these young guys do have. But it's a risky strategy. I think that it would be in their best interest to just get somebody on the roster that they know can play that position. Even if he can't play it all that well, even if he's not going to be kind of one of the better starters in the NFL, they need someone that they can at least rely on there.
Yeah, I think it's personally, I would sign a veteran offensive tackle. I'm basically just trying to figure out what the Patriots' thought process on this is at this point and why they haven't made that obvious move of bringing in a veteran who they know can play right tackle. We've been talking to a lot of coaches, a lot of players recently. It's been sort of a whirlwind of media availability activity. On Friday, we talked to all the Patriots quarterbacks other than Brian Lewerke and all of the Patriots assistant coaches. But one big theme, really, from everything that we've been talking to with players, coaches, quarterbacks, everything, is that there's a real quarterback competition in New England. I know that some people might not believe this because Cam Newton's a former NFL MVP. Jarrett Stidham's played, what, four snaps or whatever it is in the NFL. Brian Hoyer's kind of a journeyman backup. But from what everyone is saying, including the quarterbacks, including the offensive coordinator, including the quarterback's coach, this is a competition. And personally, I'm not shocked by this. I mean, the Patriots signed Cam Newton for $1.75 million. If they signed the former NFL MVP for $20 million, yeah, he would be the starter. But they waited until late June to add Cam Newton. He's not costing them really that much more money than Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer. So they're going to bring them into camp. They're going to start practicing on August 12th, see what they can do when they're firing the balls out there. The pads come on August 17th, and then there's basically 3 weeks to decide who's that week one starting quarterback. And this is going to be fascinating for us. I mean, we've never dealt with something like this where, you know, we're going to be probably down to the wire before week one. And is Bill Belichick going to get up to the podium or get up to the Zoom conference call and say, all right, Cam Newton's our guy, or hey, Brian Hoyer's our guy? Or are we going to have to wait until September 13th when they play the Miami Dolphins in week one to find out who the hell is going to be the Patriots starting quarterback? Because I doubt there's going to be many hints before week one.
1992, that is the last time the Patriots have had an actual real quarterback competition in training camp. And I don't remember the particulars of that competition because I was 2 years old at the time, but that was the year before Drew Bledsoe was drafted by the Patriots. Drew Bledsoe was the locked-in number one for his entire time here. And then obviously Tom Brady has been the locked-in number one since 2001. So it's been almost 30 years since we've had something that we're going to be able to witness over these next couple of weeks. And I agree with you. It's fascinating. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think that some people maybe don't, they hear quarterback competition and they think, oh, so Hoyer, Stidham, Newton all have a 33.3% chance of winning the job. That's not what I consider a quarterback. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It doesn't necessarily mean everybody in the quarterback position has an equal shot of ending up as the starting quarterback, because I don't think that's the case. I think Brian Hoyer has a significantly lower chance of being the starting quarterback than either Jarrett Stidham and Cam Newton. And I think that Stidham has a significantly lower chance of being the starter than Newton. But I do think all three of them are candidates at this point. And I don't think the Patriots are going to be entering this saying, all right, well, Cam's the guy. If Stidham or Hoyer shows us something, then maybe that'll change. I think it's going to be somebody's going to have to separate themselves. I think there is a much better chance of Cam Newton separating himself. And I think he will be given kind of I can't think of the right word for it, but it'll be a lot easier for him. I think the Patriots are kind of viewing him as I don't even know how to explain this, but the chances of him being the guy are significantly higher. And I'm sure the Patriots know that because they've seen what Cam Newton can do on the field, but it's not going to be given to him. It's not going to be he's not going to be written in there in Sharpie. And I actually didn't even think about that point that you brought up at the beginning until just now, that we might not know who the Patriots starting quarterback is until right before week one. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just fascinated to see how Bill Belichick will handle something like that, whether he's going to want his team and everyone to know who's the starting quarterback, or whether he's going to use that as a competitive advantage and really make Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins wait. Really, I think I would probably sum up what you were trying to say by the Patriots will probably, you know, let Cam Newton lose that job. Yeah. like he's going to be like, they want him to win it, and it's his job to lose at this point rather than it's Jarrett Stidham's job to win or Cam Newton's job to win. But, yeah, I mean, I do think that he will probably be the starter. But you could even see a situation where Brian Hoyer is the week one starter, but then he only winds up starting two or three games and Cam Newton starts 11 and Jarrett Stidham starts one. We just have no idea how any of this is going to go. But the other big thing that I've kind of gleaned from talking to coaches and players and everything over the last few weeks, it's just that everyone's talking about how much energy Cam Newton is bringing. And certainly not a surprise. He's an energetic guy. He's a flamboyant guy. He's definitely brings a big personality to that quarterback position. And I certainly don't mean this as a shot at Tom Brady or anything like that, but their personalities are just very different. So I'm not surprised at how many players are saying, wow, Cam Newton's bringing a lot of energy, when they're used to having someone a little bit more laid back, like Tom Brady or maybe like Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer at the position. I think that Cam Newton's going to be the biggest personality in the room, which, I mean, that could certainly help him win the quarterback position as well, just if he can get a lot of teammates to feed off of him.
Yeah, everybody that we've talked to seems very excited that Cam Newton is here. They all kind of do their best to sort of say, oh, well, you know, it's early. Like, nobody's won anything yet. It's the season hasn't even started. But you can just see guys' faces kind of light up when you're like, what's it like to have, or what was your reaction when Cam Newton signed? And they're just like, yeah, this is a guy. It seems like he's made a very strong first impression on the Patriots. And to your point about Tom Brady also didn't really exude enthusiasm going into probably his final two Patriots seasons, right, with the skipping OTAs and all kind of the behind the scenes sort of drama controversy that was always following him and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and that whole thing. It seems like Tom Brady's definitely enjoying his clean slate, fresh slate down there in Tampa. And it seems like the Patriots kind of are as well, having Cam Newton in here and a little bit of a different energy. Who is it? Isaiah Wynn yesterday called, he said he brings a good juice. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy who obviously he's not even that old at this point. He's what, 30 years old or something, but for someone like 31, Isaiah Wynn, yeah, who was only drafted a few years ago, that's a guy that Isaiah Wynn probably was, you know, growing up to some degree watching, because a lot of these guys love college football. Cam Newton won a national championship at Auburn. And, you know, Isaiah Wynn was a pretty young guy at that point. He was probably in high school or middle school or whatever. So he's definitely a player that I would say that some of the younger players in the Patriots probably idolized to some extent growing up. So it does have to be pretty cool for him to now be, you know, the team's starting quarterback and possibly taking over for Tom Brady. One other thing that I thought was interesting from talking to Julian Edelman on Monday was I asked him about the throwing sessions with some of the Patriots quarterbacks. And I wasn't even really thinking about this as I was asking Julian Edelman this question, but he really kind of preached the importance of those throwing sessions with quarterbacks and how you get to know a guy off the field, you get to know if he's a family man and everything. That's how Julian Edelman became Julian Edelman. He moved out to Los Angeles and basically became Tom Brady's, you know, throwing session buddy. So he, more than possibly anyone else in the NFL, knows how important those offseason throwing sessions are about developing chemistry with a quarterback and really about how that can impact your career. Because, I mean, for a guy like, let's just take Gunnar Olszewski, for instance, because we know that he was around Foxborough and he was doing the workouts with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. Say Jarrett Stidham becomes the Patriots starting quarterback. Now he had, you know, a month or 2 months or whatever it was working with that quarterback. And that's probably going to show on the practice field. I'm not saying that, you know, Gunnar Olszewski is going to become a starting wide receiver or anything, but Julian Edelman took those opportunities to throw with Tom Brady and it seriously paid off for his career. So, you know, I know that we've talked about those throwing sessions a lot, but they can be seriously important for a wide receiver's development with a quarterback.
Yeah, Julian Edelman basically like hounded Tom Brady for two straight off seasons to throw with him in the off season, and finally he finally acquiesced, and obviously it did wonders for Julian Edelman's career. Yeah, I mean those throwing sessions are going to be very important too, just because, as we've mentioned a million times, these guys haven't had they didn't have spring practice, they haven't had any practices on the field yet. Obviously, those are kind of routes against air situations, but when you're kind of adjusting to a new quarterback, nobody on this team other than Damaire Byrd has played with Cam Newton. Nobody on this team has caught a regular season pass from Jarrett Stidham, and maybe two or three of them have caught regular season passes from Brian Hoyer. So this is going to be, it's a situation where you're adjusting to a new quarterback. Every single rep is going to matter there. Reps are going to be so hard to come by in this condensed training camp. So I think it's definitely good on all these Patriots receivers and other pass catchers that they got out there and found a way with all this pandemic stuff happening to safely get some routes in and get some reps.
Yeah, obviously they've all kind of been stressing that as well, that they were staying as safe as possible. And you're actually incorrect. Rex Burkhead has caught a regular season pass from Jarrett Stidham.
Oh. Oh, that's true. That's true.
The other one went to Philip Dorsett, who's no longer on the team.
And the other one went over Brandon Bolden's head.
And then there was also an investigation into Jacoby Myers. So Rex Burkhead's really got a head up on the competition there if Jarrett Stidham's the starting quarterback based on that regular season experience.
Rex Burkhead, WR1 this season.
I'll let you kind of handle this next segment where we took some questions from fans. So
yes.
What have you got on that front?
All right, yes. Nesson Four Downs for this week. Thank you, everybody who submitted. We got a good amount of questions this week. I'm going to try to keep it to a lot of them were about Lamar Miller and Sony Michel and some of the things that we've already talked about. So I'm going to try to keep it to new topics, and we're going to keep these tight too. We're going to answer these kind of rapid fire style. All right. So this first one is from at Hollywood Titan. What one defender makes the biggest progression this year?
I would go, if I'm allowed to answer this first, I would go with Chase Winovich. I think that he could certainly become a starter on the Patriots defense. And if he's not a starter, then I would view that as a disappointment for Chase Winovich's development, because out of really anyone who was on the team last season, he's got the biggest upside out of that entire linebacker group.
I agree with the Winovich pick. A different pick that I'll make just for variety's sake is Juwan Bentley, just because his role is going to be so much larger this season. And if Juwan Bentley doesn't make a significant progression, and if he is not kind of a clear starting caliber player, then that is going to be very, very bad news for this Patriots defense. So I'll go with Juwan Bentley on that one. All right, next question. This is from at Clarky57, kind of along the same lines. Which rookie linebacker makes the biggest impact? I'll take this one first. I think we talked about after the draft that Anfernee Jennings was probably the safer pick for the Patriots in that draft over between him and Josh Uche. I still think that that's the case, but I do think with Dont'a Hightower not being there, I think Josh Uche is going to get more opportunities than he maybe would have initially. I think it might have been a case where he kind of goes into the Chase Winovich role for the first season. Now I think the Patriots could use him in some different ways and try to get him involved there. So I'll go Josh Uche. How about you on this one?
I think that Josh Uche certainly has more potential, and he's got a more wide open path to a starting role, but I will still say Anthony Jennings. I think that he was possibly the most pro-ready player that the Patriots took in the 2020 NFL draft. So I'm going to go with Jennings there. I'm not really sure where that would be, what would have to happen for him to take on that big role, but I think that the Patriots should know what he is and find a spot for him from day one on.
Yeah, that'll definitely be interesting to watch. All right, number three from @TheIDP_OG. Do you think Kyle Duggar lands the starting strong safety job since Chung has opted out?
I will say no. I think that that's certainly the hope for the Patriots. If everything goes perfectly this summer, then yes, I think Kyle Duggar could wind up being the strong safety. But with 2 weeks of training camp and with no preseason, I just think that it's either going to be Adrian Phillips, Terrence Brooks, or Jonathan Jones in that role. I would probably put Duggar fourth as far as, you know, the percent possibility that he is the week one starter. And I would probably say Adrian Phillips has the best shot at that spot from day one for me, at least.
I agree. I think there's a chance that Duggar graduates to there eventually at some point during the season, but coming from Division II with so little practice time, so few preseason games, I don't think the Patriots are going to be comfortable sticking a Division II guy out there week one as the starter. Going to be very interesting to see what kind of role Duggar does have on defense, if any, to start the year. And closing this out from @KevinMack121, simple one, forecast Pat's record, please. 9-7, I feel, is the best case scenario. I appreciate the please in there, Kevin. Doug, what do you got there?
I think I've been saying 9-7. I'm not sure if that's the best case scenario, simply because there's just so much uncertainty about this 2020 NFL season that, you know, so many things are different than they normally would be. I don't think the Patriots have that talented of a roster, but this could wind up being a season. I don't personally know. This could wind up being a season where coaching takes on a greater importance. And if that's the case, then Bill Belichick is obviously the greatest head coach in the NFL right now. So I don't know. Maybe it's going to be the talent that overrides the coaching. Maybe it's going to be the coaching that overrides the talent. But because we don't know the answer to that question, I'm not going to say that there's a best case scenario. That being said, somewhere around 9-7, 10-6 is probably where I would put this Patriots team as far as, you know, everything going into it with talent and coaching and everything else. But I could see them doing better than that based solely on Belichick and what Josh McDaniels can do with Cam Newton at quarterback.
I think coaching is going to be gigantically important this season, both because of both for kind of in-game strategy type stuff and just managing your team throughout all this uncertainty. It does seem like the Patriots are doing a very good job of that thus far, as you would expect. I can see the range for this Patriots record being anywhere between like 8-8 and 12-4. If Cam Newton like looks like the old Cam Newton, I'll probably split the difference there and say 12-6. A lot more variance in this Patriots team, obviously, than we've seen in years past. But I don't think Kevin's given him quite enough credit. I don't think 9-7 is the best case scenario. I'll go 10-6, fighting with the Bills for that AFC East title.
Yeah, I mean, I could personally even see, like, if everything goes wrong, who knows? Maybe they go 6-10 and Brian Hoyer's the starting quarterback. And I just think that almost anything is on the table for this Patriots team this season. But as I said, the Patriots will start practicing on August 12th. So maybe we'll get some information on injuries or some other things. But reporters won't actually be there until August 17th. Quite a bit of a different training camp that we're going to be dealing with. So practice reports and all of those things will probably be a little bit different. But, you know, most days, you, Zach, or I will be there at practice. So we will report on everything that we possibly can. We will be back next week, probably after we've watched a practice or two for this podcast. Hopefully both of us can watch one practice before we get back in here. But keep it on NessNotCom for all your Patriots coverage. Follow Zach @ZachCoxNesson on Twitter. Follow me @DougKide. And get your questions to Zach on Twitter that we can answer the next time that we do this podcast, which will be next week.